Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it is Friday, September the 3rd. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I want to talk a bit about metaphysics, aging, and global politics. And if you think I can't connect those three topics, you are very mistaken. So hang in here. From a metaphysical standpoint, specifically from Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah. Many people study Kabbalah even if they're not Jewish. They study it for the mystical principles that are the foundational principles of Kabbalah. In Jewish mysticism, there are fundamentally two drivers that drive human behavior. One is called the Yetzer Hara, and one is called the Yetzer HaTov. The Yetzer Hara is fundamentally the ego, the inclination to do evil, the self-focused, self-centered action without regard for its impact on others is what the Yetzer Hara stands for. The Yetzer HaTov is the good impulse, the impulse to do things that are of the highest good. And there are also associated with those two concepts, two desires, one also high and one also low. The desire to receive for oneself alone is often tied to the Yetzer Hara, and the desire to receive for the sake of sharing, which is tied to the Yetzer HaTov, to do good. Both of these explain, if you will, human actions, what we call from our higher and lower selves. The Yetzer Hara, by the way, the desire to receive for oneself alone, is tied to physical body consciousness. And the Yetzer HaTov, the desire to receive for the sake of sharing, is tied to soul consciousness or higher consciousness. So why do I want to set the groundwork or the framework for this kind of an approach to talking about aging and talking about world politics? Well, I don't know if you've ever lived with someone who was getting older to the point of losing the sharpness of their faculties, but I watched one parent in particular go through that transition. And one of the observations I made in watching that parent, and then subsequently saw in many other people as they aged, is that we tend to lose what I call our mask, or the ability to hide or moderate extremes in our behavior. And so as people get older, it isn't uncommon for them to almost become caricatures of themselves. We tend to, as I said, lose that ability to mask those extremes of behavior. So if you've been, I'll take an example. If you've been sarcastic, let's say, if your humor has been sarcastic throughout your life, as you get old or become an elder, as I now think the politically correct word for aging is, you're now an elder. As you become an elder, your sarcasm becomes really sharp, and sometimes your humor becomes cruel because you lose that ability to soften the edges around what normally just seemed like a sharp wit or a sarcastic wit when you were younger. It happens too with material things, with money. People who were, let's say, cheap in their lives as they get old tend to get incredibly tight around money, to the point where every penny is accounted for or has to be. So I'm talking about aging in the sense of what happens to us as we get older. Our wits get less sharp. Our ability to mask who we really are gets less effective. And I can tell you myself, because I'm aging, and I can tell you myself that I don't have the sharpness that I once had of mind. I'm still pretty good. I mean, I'm a lawyer and a mediator, and I still do mediations, and some of them are 8-hour long mediations. They take a day. They're exhausting. They require a lot of focus. But I would also tell you that I would never at my age or stage of mental acumen take on a full case that required litigation. I wouldn't practice law anymore as a litigator, and don't. And the reason is I know I don't have what it takes physically, psychologically, mentally, to prepare weeks, sometimes months in advance of trial, to manage a caseload of 70 or 80 cases active at one time, and to do a 2 or 3 day trial. I just don't have that. And for me to think I did, and if I continued to practice law and represent clients, I'd be doing them a disservice. So what we have to do as we age is to look at ourselves realistically and decide where our parameters are, what we are and are not able to do, because at the same time that certain faculties become less acute, other things like wisdom, which comes with age, tends to get more profound. And so there are benefits and detriments to growing older. Why bring all this up? The metaphysics of a good soul and a lower soul and a higher soul, or a lower consciousness and a higher consciousness, faculties that we lose as we age. Why? And how does it relate to global politics? Well, the answer is this. Yesterday, I saw an article that said that President Biden had indicated that after the Tree of Life attack, white supremacy attack, I think it was, at the Tree of Life Synagogue in, I believe it was Pittsburgh, that he, President Biden, went to Tree of Life Synagogue and visited with the survivors and the rabbi. That turns out to be a blatant lie, which now has been confirmed by the rabbi of the synagogue. In fact, the only president who came was Donald Trump at the time. He was, in fact, president at the time it happened, and he went there. Joe Biden has never been there. And the reason that I'm focusing in on that particular news article is because it's just the latest in a series of indications that at 70, what, 3, 4, 5, I forget how old he is, roughly in that age, it is pretty clear to anyone, regardless of your politics, that Joe Biden's faculties are slipping, that he isn't in full command of his conscious mind, that he is either, and I actually think that's the kinder analysis, that he's going through some version of senility or dementia, because the alternative is that he's just evil. He's just a bad person who thinks nothing of lying, who thinks nothing of having a call with the president, the then president of Afghanistan on July 23rd, and telling him to basically lie and say that the Taliban were not running the country, that the government of Afghanistan was not about to fall, and then come on national television and tell Americans that that wasn't going to happen, when in fact he knew it was. There are so many instances of this man not being mentally sharp, and yet he holds a position of the most powerful person in the world. It got me thinking about the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov, and it got me thinking about the desire to receive for oneself alone. And I linked all of that up with an article I happened to stumble upon this week, which was from February 3rd, 2021, in the Washington Examiner, by someone named Michael Rubin, who had laid out the case that on President Biden's first day in office, he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline, which had made us energy independent. We had become energy independent. We were no longer dependent on OPEC for fuel. And the cancellation of that pipeline has made us energy dependent once again. What the article went on to say is that at the same time, and this is really important, at the same time that the president canceled the XL pipeline here, our State Department brokered a deal between Turkmenistan and the Taliban. Hear me out, the Taliban, back in February of 2021, to run a natural gas pipeline from Turkmenistan through Afghanistan, through Pakistan to India. Now, what's important about all that is, number one, what were we doing striking a deal with the Taliban in February of 2021? Number two, Turkmenistan is, I believe, ranked globally either equal or under North Korea for violation of human rights. Number three, there is tremendous money, tremendous wealth in bringing natural gas from Turkmenistan to India. Number four, part of that deal was that the Taliban was to receive millions of dollars in protection fees for making sure that the pipeline was built and that the natural gas flowed through Afghanistan. Number five, the then Afghanistan government was not in favor of doing that. So it meant the Taliban would have to be in charge in order for this deal to go through. Number six, it wasn't lost on me when I read the article and I read natural gas that I remembered that that's what Burisma had been involved in with Hunter Biden. If Burisma isn't ringing a bell, it was the Ukrainian natural gas company that had hired Hunter Biden to sit on its board when Joe Biden was vice president, when Hunter Biden had no gift or talent or experience in the natural gas industry. Clearly, that appointment to the board was for access to the vice president, who is now president. And so it begs the question that I don't hear enough people asking, which is, why did we do what we just did in Afghanistan in the last couple of weeks? Why did we pull out overnight? Why did we leave the Taliban somewhere between $30 and $80 million worth of military equipment? Why did we allow the Afghan government to fall? Why did we not support the Afghan army that we had trained in those last few days? Why did we not support them in those last few days, an army we had trained over the last 20 years? Why did we pull out our air power, which it needed, which the Afghan army needed to sustain itself through a Taliban onslaught? Why did we pull out our military before we pulled out our civilians? Why did we turn down the Taliban's offer for us to keep control of Kabul until the airport and the Americans and the SIVs and the other people were out who needed to get out? No one keeps asking why we did that. Everyone just keeps saying what an awful extraction, what an awful surrender it was. But the why we did it remains the unanswered question. And I think the why that we did it goes back to the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, and the desire to receive for oneself alone. I think that when enough time goes by, we'll probably find out that Burisma is part of that natural gas deal from Turkmenistan through Afghanistan, with the Taliban being paid off. And the only way that could happen is if the Taliban was in charge of Afghanistan. And so I think therein lies the reason that we just did what we did. Only we didn't do it. Joe Biden did it. The State Department did it. Our military was complicit in doing it, and I believe that it was what in metaphysics and in Jewish mysticism is called the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination that humans have and that they give into out of greed and desire to receive for oneself alone. You might ask yourself why a man who has the job of the most powerful man in the world would do such a thing. For what reason? He already has all the power, yes, but he doesn't have all the money. There is a parable, story, not sure what it's called, of a Polish man who is laying in a hospital bed and he's dying. And his wife and his family come to see him every day and they sit by his bedside and they hold his hand and they talk to him. And his children say, Papa, and his wife calls him endearing words, and there's no movement. He is in a coma. He is close to death, and there's absolutely no recognition that there's anyone in the room. And one day, his priest comes into the room, and he sits down next to the man's bed, and he takes his hand in his, and the priest whispers one word in the man's ear. He says, Zloty, and the man opens up his hand, as if to receive something. Zlotys are Polish coins. The lesson of the story is that the last desire we lose as humans, one could argue the last desire of the Yetzer Hara, is the desire for money. Joe Biden may be the most powerful man in the world, but for some people, they're never rich enough. There are only one of two reasons why we just did what we did in Afghanistan. One is for money, and the other would have been blackmail. because maybe your son did things worse than we even know from laptops and photographs we've seen so far. Or maybe your son's laptop and others have information that indicate you yourself, Mr. Biden, are the living example of the Yetzer Hara unrestrained. Joe Biden, for me, is an example that we all have to monitor as we get older, where our parameters are, where our limitations are. What is it that we used to be able to do well that we no longer can do at all? Accept that and walk away from opportunities that we know are beyond our capability. It's a question we all should ponder as we age. Unfortunately, Joe Biden can only ponder it in hindsight, if he's even capable of pondering it at all. Sorry for my losing voice. It's an allergy high pollen day here in Texas. Thank you for listening. I'm Carol Gold. You've been here with me at Think for Yourself. I'll be back here again next week, but not Monday. I'll be here Monday. I won't be here Wednesday. It will be Rosh Hashanah, one of the two holy days of the Jewish New Year. As a quick reminder, this Sunday evening, 6:30 to 8 on Zoom, I'll be doing a free class on managing stress and isolation. It'll be based on 12 Principles of Power, my book titled The Questions God Will Ask. If you'd like to join in on the Zoom, there's already lots of people going to be there. Go to my website, Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, Carol Gold, or carolgoldstein.com, either one, and you can sign up for the free Zoom right on the homepage. Blessings, everyone. Think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.